Hello, Serena Cutter. There you go. One of the things I'm going to ask you to do is talk back to me tonight. All right? There we go. Just like that. If you don't have a bulletin, Bible, or a pen, raise your hand. And some faithful servants, faithful servants, will be more than happy to bring one of those to you. And when you get that bulletin, I want you to look at the back of it. On the back of it, it says, Jesus is Lord Prayer. This is something we did, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of years ago. We started every message, whoever brought the message would start this.
It's on the front.
Is it on the front? No, it's on the back.
It's on the front.
Oh, I got an old one then. Trina redid the bulletins. It's on there. Front back. Okay, so how we do this prayer is the wording in bold letters we say together, and then I read the letters that are not in bold. But it's a prayer that we are all going to pray together. So start it out. Jesus is Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the church for the broken and the powerless. Help us, Lord, to be bold about the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, to be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Amen. Blessings and the struggles. You know, everything is not always rainbows and unicorns, Skittles, you know, all just wonderful. This life, once we do get a certain amount of sobriety or a certain amount of stabilization in our life. Stabilization. Y'all need to look it up.
That's a
word. I think it's another word.
No, that's a regular
word. All right. Some of these just come to me.
That's English, man.
That's a word.
That we still have struggles. We still have struggles. I want to mention, this whole month, we're talking about being an overcomer. Overcomers. All the different aspects of it. And Logan so wonderfully described all the different places that we have overcomers meetings. But I want to go back to, what is it, John, 36 years ago, 37 years ago, when overcomers started. It was just a couple of people, right? And it's been going long for a long, long time, 30-something years. Now we have meetings in McKinney on Monday, and we have at Life Fellowship. Now, go to that. Mm-hmm. Go to it. It ain't that far. I drove further for worse stuff.
It's a good one.
I promise you. Go to the meeting in Decatur. If you live in Decatur, you got no excuse. If there's an overcomers meeting there. We have an overcomers meeting every Wednesday. I'm just reiterating everything that Logan said because I want you to hear it. I want you to hear that there's opportunities for help. I don't care if you've been in recovery for years. We still have struggles. We still have struggles.
Man.
We have an overcomers meeting directly after this church service. We have the Bible study. I initially wanted this Bible study here because there's a lot of overcomers that are in that meeting, but they want to learn a little more about the Bible. But that meeting is there because we still have struggles. Who qualifies? Write that down. Everybody qualifies. Anyone that can admit, there's a key. Anyone that can admit that they have challenges, struggles, adversity, stuff in their life they just can't wish or will away. Who is that? That's everyone. Everyone has stuff. Trina's got stuff. She does. There we go. I love it. There's some of that talk back we get talking about, right? So how do we overcome? How? There we go. Go to overcomers. See, that was my question when I came into recovery. I walked into a recovery group. Matter of fact, someone held my hand and walked me into a recovery group. I had no clue. I had no clue what to do. I'd heard about AA and heard about recovery stuff. I had a great uncle that was the town drunk, and he had made his way to AA, and he had 9 years, you know, clean and sober. And I didn't really know anything about that. And he had long passed, and I just, that's about all I knew. And I thought, you know, it's a bunch of old men sitting around, and, you know, they ain't got nothing better to do, and they're town winos. And that wasn't the case at all. I went into these groups, and there was people that were a lot well off, doing a lot better than I was ever doing. And so they told me, there's some things you have to do. You have to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. That sounds like a lot. You must get a sponsor. Who? What is a sponsor? I had no clue what a sponsor was. Get someone that you can trust, that can help you, that you can talk to. Work through the 12 steps, all the way through them. All the way through them. Pray. Get a God of my own understanding. What? I'm really allowed to do that? See, that was a whole nother concept for me. Get a God of my own understanding. Share my experience, strength, and hope. Oh, so now I'm supposed to talk in this meeting too. Read the AA big book. I don't like to read. How bad did I want it? I read it. And then I found overcomers. Because I was in these meetings and I knew who the higher power was. But if you know anything about other meetings, you really can't say Jesus without being called down, without being corrected. And I was corrected. But I found overcomers where you can say Jesus out loud. You can read scripture out of the Bible. We all knew in an overcomers meeting that a doorknob is not our higher power and could never be.
Amen.
We understood that. And I found me a home there. I didn't stop going to AA. And I didn't stop doing those things that they said to do. Because they were really, really, really simple things. Really simple things. This stuff sounds really, really simple. Go to 90 meetings. Get up and go to a meeting. It's 1 hour out of your whole day. Go to a meeting. Read something spiritual. Talk with another person. Share your experiences. All simple things. But why is it so hard to do? Why? Is it so hard to do? I thought about this a lot this week. Why is it so hard for people to do the simple things that it takes to achieve sobriety, to achieve the miracle? Whatever your challenges are, we have found that working through the 12 steps and attending these meetings help you overcome those things.
Amen.
And so I did a lot of thinking about it. I believe it boils down to pride. A whole lot of it boils down to pride and trust, trusting other people, and most of all, trusting God.
Amen.
I believe it boils down to those things. Trusting people, like, don't tell me what to do. I'm one of those. And it wasn't until I got beat down to in submission to where, I want something else. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'm usually the guy that's, if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do quite the opposite. Because you told me to do it. Trina calls it defiance disorder. That's what she says. It's a defiance disorder. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but she says I have it. Trusting God. Trusting that He will do what He says He will do. Trusting that if you turn your will and your life over to the care of God, that He'll fix it. Does this mean we're not going to have any kind of struggles? It doesn't mean we're not going to be fearful about stuff ever again. Lord, no. We are going to have fears, but we overcome our fears by trusting God. This all made me think of the story of Naaman. Naaman had trust issues. But when he finally trusted, a miracle happened in his life. If you will, turn to 2 Kings 5, and I'll give you just a minute to get there, but we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 14. And in the Bible that I was using, it says Naaman is healed. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Some sort of healing? Some sort of recovery, some sort of fix. We've searched for every kind of other fix. How about we try another solution? And if you look at 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Naaman was commander in the army of the king of Aram. He was honored by his master, and he had much respect because the Lord used him to give victory to Aram. He was a mighty and brave man, but he had a skin disease. Look what we just read. This man, Naaman, he had great respect. He was well respected in the community. He was a commander in the armies. He was even used by the Lord. The Lord used him to win back victories in battle, and he was mighty and brave, but he had this one thing. He had this one thing that was going to cause him to isolate from everyone. He had this one thing that was going to cause him pain, hurt, turmoil. This one thing. He had everything else going for him, but he had this one thing. Naaman had that one thing, and it was a skin disease. It's funny how this scripture, this story, uses a disease. Many of us in this room, we have that one thing, and we call it a disease. And so, I don't know if you know a whole lot about leprosy, but this is that disease he had. And I did just a little Google search on it, and it says it's painful. My disease was painful.
Amen.
Says it causes skin sores, nerve endings, eye and muscle damage, and deformities if untreated. Like I said, many of us in this room, we can put a name on it. We know what that disease is. If you'll look in your bulletins, I want you to write that down. What is your challenge? You don't have to tell anybody, but maybe this is the first time you could write it down. Maybe this is the first time that you can admit it. Don't have to admit it to anybody else. Nobody has to see what you wrote down, or even if you think it. Everybody has something out of their control that can't wish a world away. So I'm asking you tonight, what is that challenge? Put a name on it. Everybody's got something, and if you don't think you got something, that's what it is. Pretty daggum proud of yourself, ain't you? Let's go on. 2 Kings 5:2. The Arameans had gone out to raid the Israelites and had taken a little girl's captive. This little girl served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish my master would meet the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease." The servant girl. This is a girl that when the Arameans raided the Israelites, she was an Israelite girl. And I assume they took her. And they took her back and she became a servant. But she knew of a prophet back in Samaria that could help. She knew of a solution. She knew something that could help Naaman. And so she asked her boss lady, her mistress, why wouldn't he go to see this man? He would cure. The servant girl knew of the prophet Elijah and encouraged Naaman to go be healed. Next question for you. Has someone encouraged you to seek help? Has that happened to you? It happened to me. I remember many, many years ago, one of my sayings was quittance for quitters. I didn't want to have anything to do with quitting. Quittance for quitters. My uncle pulled up to my house one evening and he got out of the truck and he had something written on some paper, some phone numbers. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he was asking me to go meet with someone and maybe seek some help. And I wadded that paper up, threw it on the ground, and went back in the house. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. My wife had encouraged me to seek some help, believe it or not. And we did. We went, you know, begrudgingly. I went to this thing with her, and it was just to please her. I didn't really want. I hadn't been beat down enough, and they put some things in my ears, and anyway, by the time we walked out of there, I was like, "That's a joke. I don't want a part of that." And then I went on for a few more years. Path of destruction. Wrecking every person and everything in my life because I wouldn't seek the help when I had people in my life trying to encourage me to seek help, telling me where to go and things that I could do. And I don't stop until I become homeless and alone. That's my story. I go until there's nothing left. When I walked into the doors of recovery, I had a backpack. I had two cordless drills, three cell phones, and some digital scales. That's all I had to my name. There was a time that I owned a house, I had boats, I had cars, and I'll give my truck away for some dope. I've done it. The whole time, people around me that love me asking me to get some help. The question is there someone in your life encouraging you to seek help? Let's read on. 2 Kings 5, 4 and 5. Naaman went to the king, and he told him what the girl from Israel had said. The king of Aram said, "Go ahead, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left and And he took 750 pounds of silver. He took 150 pounds of gold. He took 10 changes of clothes. And when the king of Israel got the letter, the king of Israel was upset about it. Scripture says he tore his clothes. I don't. Back then, they showed their anger or their upsetness different. Upsetness. There it is, another one.
Google it.
Good. I don't want to tear my clothes, man. I can be angry without tearing my clothes. But these guys used to tear their clothes to show that they were upset about a certain thing. And so, verse 7, he says, I'm not God. I can't kill and make alive again. I want you to think about this. Is there someone that you have gone to seek some help, and you expected them to be your Savior? You expected them to have all the answers. That's just not reality. It's just not reality. He said it. I'm not God. He knew. Only God can heal them that way. So he thought the other king was trying to make trouble. He really did. Verse 8, he said, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent the king this message. Why have you torn your clothes? I wonder the same thing. Why have you torn your clothes? Let Naaman come to me. Then he will know there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman, with his horses and chariots, went to Elijah's house and stood outside the door. Verse 10, Elijah sent Naaman a messenger who said, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Then your skin will be healed and you'll be clean. Naaman became very angry and left. He said, I thought Elijah would surely come out and stand before me and call on the name of the Lord his God. I thought he would wave his hand over the place and heal this disease. The Abin and the Far words. I make up words better than those. What they are is the rivers in Damascus. And what he was saying is, I got cleaner rivers to go wash in where I'm from. Why can't I wash in them and become clean? So Naaman went away very angry. Elijah asked Naaman to do something very simple. Go and wash, dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Go do 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. All of them. I can't tell you how many times I've, throughout the years, that I've been in recovery meetings, overcomers especially, where I've heard someone hear something said or solution shared in that meeting and someone get up and cuss everyone out. Every person in the circle. One by one, and storm out the door. Yes. I've been in recovery meetings where I saw a man one time stand up and curse God. Say some things I ain't going to say right here to God. God's big enough to handle that. But the man became angry when he heard the solution because it wasn't working for him. I've heard them say, this doesn't work. This stuff y'all are saying to do doesn't work. But are they doing it? Are they dipping 7 times? Not willing to go wash in the Jordan River? Here's something for you. It's another note. Is there something you're not willing to do to be an overcomer? Is there something you're not willing to do to to be an overcomer. Look what happens next in verse 13. Naaman's servant girl came near to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Doesn't it make more sense just to do it? After all, he only told you to wash and you'll be clean." So Naaman went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, just as Elijah had said. Then his skin became new again, like the skin of a child, and he was clean.
Yeah.
Here, finally, Naaman finally trusts the process. There's a process. I want you to go to this river, not one of these others. I want you to go here, and I want you to go down into that river, and I want you to go into the water and back up. Into the water and back up 7 times. The servant says, "What do you got to lose? If he was going to wave his hand over you and do some kind of magic trick, you would have been all for that. But he's told you to go do something very simple. Go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor. Share in a meeting. Work the steps, all of them.
In order.
In order."
Oh, man.
"Well, I'm really too good to really go hang out with those people. I don't really fit in with those people. I can't be seen going into a recovery meeting. What will people think? I can't be seen doing that kind of stuff. I really can't be seen going to church on a Saturday on Serenity Church. What will people think?" I was in a conversation one time with a pastor from another church, and he had some legit questions. He was asking me, "What is Serenity Church about? What do we do? And who attends Serenity Church?" And by the time I was done with him, he said, "I would never go there. I'll never bring my kids there. I would never bring my wife there." And I said, "Why?" He said, "What would people think? We don't belong there." Everyone has something out of their control. They just can't wish their will away. But pride will keep you from the solution. Naaman put his pride aside and trusted the process. He went into the river and he dipped 7 times. He went into the river and... still got it. Down again, 3 times. Still got it. You think? Maybe the 4th time. I still got it. "This program don't work. I think I'll quit. I'm coming up out of the river." I see that all the time. 5 times. He comes up. Still nothing. Still nothing. 6 times. 7 times he comes up out of the water. Oh! The miracle happens. I'm telling you tonight, don't give up before the miracle happens. Please keep coming back. Please keep doing these things. Please keep showing up to meetings.
Yes.
Please keep talking to your sponsor. Please keep praying.
Please,
please work a 4th step.
Please.
There's so much that comes from that. On page 17 of the AA Big Book, we always like to read something from a recovery book. And a lot of times we come straight out of the AA book. And so I want you to just listen to this. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. That solution is the 12 steps. Thank God that I was introduced. To the 12 steps, we were talking to some really close friends of ours on the way here. Trina said, you know, Naaman had to go dip in that nasty, nasty, nasty water. Some of the things that we have to look at in a 4-step is pretty nasty. You know, and then this lady that was on the phone with reminded us that, you know, Trina dropped me at that hospital because I wouldn't go in. She drove off. What if she hadn't come back? What if she hadn't come back? What if when I got out of detox, Gary and Shauna didn't have the kids and we went somewhere else? Shauna took me to her room and said, I want to take you to an AA meeting. What if that never had happened? Where would I be? What would my life look like now? I can't tell you how grateful I am for recovery. The 12 steps, a solution. I beg you, do it. Get all in. Get all in. It's the only way that I know. It's worked for me. It works for thousands of people. Don't stop at step 3. If Naaman had stopped at dip 4, he'd have still been sick. Don't stop at step 3. Do that step 4. Do that step 5. Do them all. Get through and see a miracle.
Yes.
Amen.
By step 12, it says we have a spiritual awakening. As a result of working these steps, we have a spiritual awakening. And we try to carry this message and practice these principles, practice everything that we've learned, everything that we've gone through, everything that we've discovered about ourselves. Practice these things in all our affairs. How do we keep it?
Give it away.
By giving it away.
Give it away.
And the Bible says it this way, Revelation 12:11. And I went and looked at several different versions to find the version that said overcame. And it's in the Amplified. And they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounced their faith even when faced with death. How do we overcome? Let's answer that question plain and simple. We put pride aside. We trust God. We trust people. And we share what God has done in our lives. Roger, come on up, you guys. And so tonight, one of two things, as Logan says, don't burn off. We're going to meet right in there, Overcomers Room. Everybody has something out of their control. They just can't wish their will away. Do you want to be healed? Do you want that taken away? There's a good start. We will have our Bible class right here. But I'm going to ask Trina and Logan, y'all come up. And if you have something you need to get off your chest, these guys, you don't even have to tell them. You just walk up. They'll start praying for you. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I ask that might be something you do tonight. And it's It's another simple thing. Say a prayer. Lord, I ask you into my life. I want to follow you. I want your presence to be known. Lord, lead my life. And when I want to take back over, remind me that I am yours. Lord, I offer myself to you to do with me and to build with me as I live. To lead me in the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Really, it's that simple. The next step is doing it. And if you've given your life over to God and turned your will over to Jesus Christ, it's still another thing that's pretty easy, because that's what you want to do now. You don't fight not doing that. It's not a burden. It's not burdensome. I almost made up another one. It's not burdensome to follow Jesus and do the things he asked. Love people. Love him. It's not hard to do if you're giving your heart over to him. It's what you want to do. So I ask you tonight, if you haven't made that decision, please make that decision. And meet me in Overcomers. Let me pray for y'all. Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. Lord, I thank you that your presence is in this room. Lord, if there's people in this room that need healing, lay it on their heart to do the next right thing, to take that solution that's offered to them. Lord, you know what people are dealing with. And I ask that you heal them. Show a miracle in their life. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.